If we want to grow in our relationship with God, His Word must never be far from our minds. Our relationship with God grows deeper the more that we ponder on His Word and apply it in our lives. And then, as we do that, God's Spirit writes that Word in our hearts. We become more like God. But that cannot happen if we do not take the time for meditation. That cannot happen if we crowd the Word of God out of our minds, if we do not keep it in the midst of our hearts. At the close of our services, we very often hear the men pray, asking God to help us apply His Word to our lives. That means to take it in, to think on it, and then apply it to our actions. That takes a conscious effort. If we're not continually thinking about and applying God's Word to our minds, then other things will fill our minds. A few weeks ago, the focus of the sermon was on prayer. And this week, as my wife and I were talking about Psalms and the Psalms we've been reading as we go through our Bible reading plan, we were talking about meditation. So this week, I will speak on the importance of meditating on God's Word. And this is to encourage us to always meditate on God's Word, to always have it in our minds, thinking on it at all times, and applying it to our lives. The Word of God, living and active in our minds, causes us to grow into the image of God, that living Word within us. Let's go to Psalm 19, because this is the psalm that my wife and I were thinking about this week. We came across it in our Bible reading plan this week, Psalm 19. This is what happens, as David's describing here in Psalm 19. What happens to our minds as we apply ourselves to the Word of God and keep the Word of God as the chief focus of our minds, of our thoughts? Starting in verse 7 of Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Our thoughts are to become like God's thoughts. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. As we keep that Word living in our mind, we become more like God. Our thoughts become more like His, and that is pleasing in His sight. Notice verse 14 now. This was the inspiration for the sermon today. Verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The meditation of my heart. That's the title of the sermon today. The meditation of my heart. What is it? What do you fill your mind with? What's in there? One of the things that we fall prey to quite often, and maybe more so times when there's trouble, is worry. Fall into a habit of worrying and putting worrisome thoughts in our minds. And indeed, there is much to be worried about. But God wants us and our minds to be at peace as we put our trust in Him, as we focus on Him and keep His Word, living and abiding there, alive in our minds. Did not Jesus say that which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Worrying needlessly, what will it do? It'll just push the thoughts of God out of our minds where God wants our minds to be. Does it matter what we think? It matters to God. It matters to God. Well, when is your mind not at work? When do your thoughts cease? In the grave, your thoughts will cease, according to the scriptures. That's when your thoughts cease. But while we live, whether we sleep or awake, our minds are always at work. And God wants us to direct all of our thoughts toward Him. What we put into our mind, what you put into your mind, and what you think about shows God how you regard His word. Do you put it there and apply it? Is it staying there? And is it your chief focus? Or does it get crowded out by other things? The use, or the real use of meditation about God, should always lead us to right action. In other words, asking ourselves, how does this apply to me? What do I need to do? And that's the prayer that our men so often pray at the end of services. There are many scriptures and many psalms that show us the need to meditate continually about God, about His law, about His creation, about His eternal majesty. And they show us the need, these scriptures show us the need to have the word of God in our minds day and night. Day and night. I'd like you to turn with me now to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. Come with me there to Joshua chapter 1. And notice what God told Joshua to do before he went in to conquer the land. Joshua chapter 1. Now, just this is where he was on the other side of the Jordan, about to go in, about to lead the armies of Israel in. And God said to him in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Day and night, Joshua was to think on the word of God. He was to exercise his mind in it so that he would direct his actions by it. Now, we are conquerors like Joshua because we could look at Joshua as an example for us, because we are to go in and take the promised land just as he was commanded to do. We are also commanded to go in. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10 now. 2 Corinthians 10, and we'll see that we are really in a battle for our minds, the thoughts of our minds. Notice this very familiar verse here in 2 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 3. For we are conquerors like Joshua, and though we walk in the flesh, verse 3, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down, verse 5, arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and then bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that is the direction our minds need to go. Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We meditate on the Word of God, not only to be knowledgeable in it, not only to be knowledgeable in it, we think on God's Word also to prepare our minds for right action, to go the right way, to choose the right path. Well, let me make some points today, and we'll do a three-point sermon. First one, take the time to meditate. Take the time to meditate. One important reason to meditate on the Word of God is to know the way to go, which path to choose. God's Word is like a lamp to our feet, and meditation in it provides us with answers. It shows us how we should choose to act. how we should make decisions, what path to take, how we should deal with problems that affect us. We all have to deal with things every single day. And I'll just use myself as an example and how I actually used the Word of God to overcome some negative thoughts. This was, I've probably used this before, in my driving. I used to be more aggressive in my driving, and I found myself getting upset with other drivers who may or may not have been trying to do anything to upset me, probably not, but I was getting upset anyway, and I realized that's not right. I'm thinking things that I should not be thinking. What's causing that? I'm looking at myself in the light of the Word of God, and I think, I need to take care of this. And so I became more of a methodical in my driving, not more as aggressive as I used to be. And that's just a personal example. And I know I went through those because I remember being convicted in my mind when those thoughts would enter in, those angry thoughts that shouldn't have been there. So meditation or thinking on God's word is purposeful thinking. It's reflection. It's contemplation on the word of God. Thinking about how does it apply to me? And prayer, along with Bible study and meditation, all those things that we're always told about, they all take time. And it's tempting to neglect these things because of that. Because of the fact that they take time, it's tempting to let them be crowded out of our lives. We find other things to do and other things to fill our minds. So we need a quiet place to go. We need to have that regular place. And we see in the scriptures examples of righteous men and women who went to pray in quiet places, like Hannah, before she went up to the temple and prayed as she was barren, and God heard her prayers, and she had a son, Samuel. So she was going to the temple to pray in her place, or David, who prayed in his places of prayer. And of course, Daniel, we know, always went to his place. We need to have that place too, a quiet place and a time. Where is that in your house? Is it in the closet, the bedroom, the basement? I've talked about my prayer place in our house. It's down the basement in the office, and I have a very nice view out into the woods there. I love that place. I've had so many wonderful thoughts about God, and so many prayers have been said there. That's my place. That's the place I go to exercise my mind in the things of God, to take the time to think about God and in this spiritual activity, this spiritual exercise. We can choose to constantly fill our minds with other things to crowd out the Word of God. But if we do, what are we doing? We're wasting an opportunity to become more like God, because as we keep that word in us, as we act on it, we become more like God. If we're crowding that out of our minds, we're wasting an opportunity to become more like God. Indeed, every moment, every breath that we have is an opportunity, is really a gift from God for us to have a time to apply ourselves to his word and to become more like him. And it may not seem that small decisions during the day really amount to all that much. As we keep the word of God in our minds and we focus on it and we make decisions one way or another, it doesn't, don't really perhaps feel ourselves growing into the image of God. But take the example of a blade of grass. If you look at a blade of grass and just stare at it as it's in the growing season, you really don't see the growth. I mean, you can't perceive it. But if you walk away and come back 2 days later, 3 days, maybe a week later, that blade has grown because it has always been growing. There's always something going on. And it's the same with us. As we apply ourselves to the Word of God and make small decisions, the little things every single day, as we keep the Word of God as the chief focus of our minds, we're growing. We may not seem like it, but we are. And over time, that becomes more apparent, just like the blade of grass. We can choose to dwell our thoughts on things that spring from our own reasoning too, you know, just things from our own mind. But we know what the end of that, brethren, is. There is a way that seems right to a man, right? The proverb says, but the end thereof is death. And so we must keep the Word of God as the chief focus of our mind. We can also dwell on fears, as I've mentioned already, being afraid or worried. We can dwell on resentments, and I guess that would relate to my example of what I was starting to feel against other drivers who were innocent of really doing anything wrong to me. We could think and dwell on jealousy, lusts of the flesh, of the mind. We could dwell on pride, all manner of things that we could choose to focus our minds on that are opposed to the Word of God. But God wants our minds to be clean and focused on Him. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're coming from Corinthians over to Colossians chapter 3. This is where our minds need to be. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And verse 2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Set them there. Put your mind there. That is our chief focus. We choose what we think. It's our choice. And we focus our mind on what we want to. And it really should be, at all times, on our awesome God, on our Creator God. Let's go now to Psalms chapter 1. We'll be in Psalms a little bit here. As I mentioned earlier, the Psalms have many examples of meditation on the Word of God and looking at how that applies to us, meditating on God's Word as it shows us the way to go. And the Psalms are filled with examples. So let's just take the first Psalm, the first verse of the first Psalm, Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Just as God told Joshua to do before he was to go in to conquer that land, this law shall be in you shall meditate on it day and night. And what happens when we do that? When we do that and apply it to ourselves, as I've been saying, we grow. We grow and transform into a strong spiritual man or woman. Verse 3 now of Psalm chapter 1. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So you could picture this strong tree that's planted there, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's a beautiful thought, a beautiful vision of a strong, solid Christian who delights in the law of God and it grew and grew and became this strong person, strong in the Word of God, because it was his meditation day and night. One wonderful way to inspire our meditations is to think on God's creation. So I have my window downstairs in my prayer place, And I look out on the woods there, and I often see the squirrels and the birds doing their business there. And I see the woods, and I've seen seasons come and go, snow and rain. And, you know, I've spent many, many days there looking out at that through that window, thinking about in this little piece of God's creation, the majesty of that creation, how inspiring it is that God made such a complex and vast universe. And that's one of the ways we can be inspired in our meditation. God's word clearly shows that he wants to share his power and his glory with us, the mind that created all of that majestic, really infinite creation, because we cannot get to the end of it, wants to share his glory with us. The word of God is clear about that. And so David pondered that. He pondered this deeply. Let's go to Psalm chapter 8. He pondered this awesome offer of God to share his creation or share his power and glory with us. And so he says in verse 3, as he's considering of Psalm 8, when I consider your heavens, and you're looking at the creation and the work of your fingers and the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? What am I that God wants to share his eternal glory with me? That's something to think about, something to ponder, something that helps inspire us is to consider the creation of God. Now, God reveals himself to us in his word also. The scripture or the creation reveals the glory of God, as Romans 1:20 says, his creation is seen, or his majesty is seen in the things created. He also reveals himself in his word. And understanding the Bible must be a lifelong pursuit. We must take that word continually in our minds. So we need to take the time to pause and meditate on it. What we read and what we hear of the Bible, meditate on it, which is really directed thought toward an action. Put it together in your mind. Put God's word together in your mind. Muse on it and make it a lifelong pursuit of knowledge so that you meditate on it at all times. So the second point is then, think how to apply his word. Really, I've been saying this already, but think how to apply his word. Think about how it applies as a guide to your life, as a guide to your action. And that should be the chief reason for why we meditate on the word of God, is to analyze it and apply it and practice it. And that is, again, what our men always pray, or very often pray at the end of our services. As we think about God's truth and internalize it, his word then becomes etched in our minds. It begins to grow there and live there in our thoughts. Think according to the word of God. As God told Joshua, this book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and observe to do all that's written. So as he had that word in his mind, he meditated on it, and it led to the right action. Let's go now to Psalm 49. Psalm 49, and we see here that the word of God helps us, and meditating on it helps us to know the way to go. Verse 3 of Psalm 49, if you're over there with me now, verse 3 of Psalm 49. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. Meditation of my heart, focused on the word of God, I will get understanding from that. I will, verse 4, incline my ear to a proverb, and I'll disclose my dark saying on the harp. trying to think about how the Word of God applies, what it means. And then, as he states here, actually singing about it, causing it to be something he praises God for because he understands his word. So we always must seek to apply our minds to God's word. We're coming up now on a period of self-examination, although we know that it's always a time of self-examination, but when we highlighted this time of year before the Passover. So let's go to one of those scriptures that we often refer to in the time and the run-up to the Passover. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And the point is here that we are to analyze the Word of God and apply it to our minds. Examine it and see how it applies. Verse 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know you yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are disqualified? So take that word of God like a mirror and look at yourself. Think about it and how the word of God and you match up. What you must do when God's word shows you even your thoughts, your faults, and what you must do to change. As I used in my example of my driving. Let's go to James chapter 1, another familiar verse here in James 1. So we must be, as we take that word and apply it to ourselves, we become doers of the word. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be doers of the word. Doers, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, so that our meditation has a force. For if any man is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So we must take that word of God, meditate on it, and then apply it to our lives. The third point is that we must clear our minds of useless thought. So clear your mind of useless thought. Take those things out. Guard your thoughts from thinking wrong things. Because if you expose yourself to the things in the world, that's going to affect your thoughts about God. The world's standards are far from God's standards. So don't let your mind become insensitive to God's word by going along with the world. Keep the word of God alive and active in your mind. Let it be the chief focus of your thoughts. Let it guide you into all the ways of righteousness. Let's go now to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and we're always going to find beautiful wisdom here of a father telling his son how he should go in life, which way he should go. There's the way of the righteous and there's the way of the wicked. And as this father is telling his son in the Proverbs, it's always choose the right. But the responsibility is on the son to use his mind and have the word of God there, have the father's words in his mind and apply them to himself. Because the father can't control you. You're in control of your thoughts. You are the one who allows your thoughts to be godly or not. So keep away from useless thought. Let's go now again to Proverbs 4 and we'll start in verse 20. I think hopefully you're there. I'm not sure if I called that out or not already, but Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, give ear or give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes, and keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them right there in the midst of your hearts, right where you're always looking at them. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Don't let yourself be polluted with other things, but keep your heart. Put away from you, verse 24, a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. And let your eyes, verse 25, look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. And ponder, verse 26, think about the path of your feet. Think about what you're doing, where you're going. Think about it, and let all of your ways be established. Do not turn, verse 27, to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So make the word of God in your mind your chief delight. Now let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And as Mr. Raines called out this, I think it was hymn 72 earlier, I thought, perfect. Hymn 72, oh, how love I thy law. I didn't tell him what I was speaking on today, but I'm quoting basically the words of hymn 72 here, Psalm 119 and verse 97. Verse 97 of Psalm 119. Oh, how love I thy law. Oh, the King James says that, thy law, but oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, verse 98 now, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. And I've restrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. You know, this is the mind of one who applied himself to the word of God, which was always in his mind, always in his mind. I've not departed, verse 102, from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. And that's what happens. God himself teaches us through his word. It creates in us a new man as this word of God is formed or etched into our minds. How sweet are your words, verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And finally, verse 105, very memorable verse, a memory verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Because he meditates on it day and night. So take the time to meditate, brother. Have that place to go. Don't let other things be crowding out God's word from your mind. Make it a regular habit to meditate on the word of God. And so that it's on your mind, not only when you go to your place of prayer, your quiet place of meditation, but all the time. Every part of your day, you're looking at that word of God. And think about how to apply that word to your life. Meditate on it day and night. And clear your mind of the useless thought, the things that God doesn't want, that really are not godly, that crowd out godly thoughts from our mind. Clear those things out and keep God's word, as the proverb says, in the midst of your heart. For it is life to all who live by it. Make it your chief delight. Let's go to a couple more scriptures as we come to a close here. First of all, Philippians 4. And this is one we often read, but it's so fitting for us here as we're talking about meditation and making God's word the chief focus of our mind and applying ourselves to that word. As we're all familiar with this verse, Philippians 4, verse 8, "Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And certainly, brethren, we are in perilous times, as been pointed out already numerous times, and the news media tells us, or the news reports coming to us are telling us, these are stressful times for our nation, for our world. And now more than ever, we need to make the Word of God the chief focus of our minds. We must take His Word and make it the guide of our lives in everything, never letting the world and its concerns divert us from the path that God's Word shines before us. But one final verse over in Malachi, last chapter of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. And verse 16. "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. And so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." Verse 17. "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day that I make my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son who serves him." What a beautiful promise that is from God, our Father, that He will spare us in the day of trouble as we are making His word our chief delight, focusing on Him. And so may Psalm 19, verse 14, where we started with, be always our prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.